Blog Talk Radio.
Eduardo at 1020 Studios. It's actually 1020 Radio Studios for all of you new ones that haven't heard about that before. All right. Good morning, everybody. It's good to be back. It's taken about a week or so to do some replays, and we switched to our Quarantine Mania format for a couple of days, just experimenting with the system. Now it's up and running. After taking a few days off for basic maintenance and writing and just researching, one of the biggest reasons I wanted to take some time off, it's really interesting, is really I wanted to see that if I took, you know, 4 or 5 days off from doing live shows, by the time I came back on the air, if things would change much, you know, and as far as things that we talk about and the way we do things. One of the things that I did during the time off is I went back to the list of shows, and we did in the first series, the food service worker series, 70 shows, and that was in 35 days. So we actually did 2 shows every day, and in some cases maybe 1 show, but for the most part every day we did 2 shows. Anyway, total was 70 shows, and I listened to where we were at the first couple of days, and I remember there was just a little bit of uncertainty in my voice, and just thinking about what to do. And it was really, really basic at that point in time, you know, really basic. In other words, we were just getting off on this whole thing. And then it progressed every day, and the situation, for the most part, until we get to this day, has it's really been successful. And in the sense that even though a lot of things haven't changed yet, by going back and reviewing all the old shows and just sort of getting an idea of what was going on, you know, 5 weeks ago when we started until up to today, we pretty much, kept what we were doing on a daily basis. And what the result was for that was that Washington State is, in not, I would say, 100% better shape, but we're definitely holding our own to the point where, cases are still there, but they've decreased, as well as the fatalities, thank goodness. And tremendous adjustments and renovations and modernization to so many different businesses and where people are working. And, so in order to be really function. And the great news is that the parks, as of yesterday, a lot of parks, state parks, have opened up. And we'll talk about, you know, how to approach those in a minute. But let me bring our great co-host who we've missed, and I've missed too, Rhonda E. is back with us this morning. Rhonda E.
Hey, how's it going?
There she is. It's going good. I was just talking about, what I've done for the last couple of days and, you know, putting the show, Foodomania on hold and introducing Quarantine Mania for a couple of days, and then went back and went through a lot of the shows that we did, you know, starting. We did 70 shows, Rhonda E., in the first series, 70 altogether.
Wow.
That's a lot. In 35 days, it's pretty incredible. But my point was, I wanted to go back to the original shows and see what you and I, what we were talking about the first couple of days in the first week when we first went into the quarantine, and how it compared to where things are at today. And I was just saying, just to update you for a few things I said before you got on the air, I said that, you know, when we've come pretty much 6 weeks into the 7th week right now, since we started the show, but also since the starting the show is married to the beginning of the home stay-at-home quarantine. So it's interesting that we were up on the air like the same day or within a day or two. And now we're a bit further apart later, and a lot of things have gotten into place. And now we have a couple of little gifts. We were supposed to maybe be open by the 4th or the 5th, but we're still going to be in the same situation until the 31st. But the couple of gifts we got were some parks that are open and things like that. But I think the biggest gift I'd like you to talk about, which I know is a firsthand report from the front lines, because you were off a big part of the last 6 weeks and finally went back to work about a week ago. And I wanted to just know about your experience on a couple of different levels. Like, where are we at today compared to how we were at the last time you worked, which was, you know, before this whole thing happened?
Well, actually, yeah. Well, I've been back to work for 3 weeks now. From where it was at, from where I was at when I wasn't working to now, pretty much, well, first of all, I was sick, so that didn't help. So there were changes happening while I was sick that were obviously happening at work, too. People were going into, you know, the mode of what do we do and how do we get through this and how do we keep people safe and making decisions and probably putting their heads together, you know, in a very stressful moment for them, you know. But, you know, prior to that, to now coming back, you know, there's been really some great stuff put in place to see that happen.
Can you give us an example?
I can give you some example in regards to that. So the setup.
Just procedure.
Basically,
we don't need personal information. We just need some procedures.
Yeah, I wasn't planning on giving it personal, but so setup basically is just pretty much, you know, common sense in when you arrive, you know, to basically arrive to somebody at the front and temperatures are taken, papers are filled out, and proceeding with only those that are allowed within that building, which would be caregivers and staff. And family, you know, mostly stand outside to deliver things. Other situations, such as certain things that are delivered as well, stay outside, and someone comes to a locked door, a little buzzer goes off, and then we take it, and with allowing very few in. And as well, you know, meals are kind of meals on wheels, like I used to do for my grandmother. We used to call them meals on wheels. So instead of the meals being in a normal capacity of others gathering together, bringing social distancing, basically is us bringing the meals to their homes, their forefronts of their rooms. So that's kind of what that looks like right now. And as far as, you know, staff and things like that too, usually normally eating together. Now we are at our own tables. Everything is wiped down. Everything is, you know, addressed germ-wise. Anybody that's come in 3 or 4 times a day, we're going around the building to prevent anything. And it's not, mind you, it's not just, you know, cleaning, like cleaning surfaces. It's mostly surfaces and spraying surfaces and leaving it there so that that direct contact hits and you give it that certain amount of minutes or seconds, you know, for that, you know, virus or possibility not to be there. So those are kind of those things happening too. Everybody's working together very hard to prepackage and package meals and that kind of thing. So times have changed on certain amount of times that we normally would do things a certain way. Now we're having to implicate them in a different way, but in a more of a catering type of style. So, yeah, a lot of things have happened in that time period. So a lot of changes have occurred. And, you know, they've made some good strides to prevent. And at the same time, they made good strides to hopefully, too, also bring a little bit of joy in such quiet moments for so many people, too, by, you know, taking time to artistically draw on, you know, something that basically would, you know, state to them, we're thinking of you, singing happy birthday at the room. If it's somebody's birthday, you know, letting people know. So, yeah, there's a lot. And then there's a little bit of an essential drive that I got to do while I was there, too, which is to go around and, you know, pretend like I was like a Vanna White in my own humorous way and deliver any essentials to those who might have a need. And that brings a little bit of joy in the middle of this, you know, very low key and uncertain time for a lot of people. So that's kind of what's been going on in that.
All right, great. Well, it's the firsthand report from the front lines. You know, that's what I wanted to talk about today. In other words, like the general plan, for the most part, is like your business and where you work is an essential service, and the essential services that are, you know, the grocery stores and the markets and that sort of thing. They've taken incredible steps. You know, you've gone to the market and you probably see run to eat on the floor. There's like, you know, markers where you can stand and what direction you can walk, and there's people outside cleaning the carts. And then when you get to the cash register, there's shields that are happening right now. And the reality is that's how the essential businesses have learned. But now it's interesting because now the non-essential businesses that some will hopefully be opening within 3 or 4 weeks, providing they're prepared enough, have to make some really interesting changes in order to be open. Like, I don't know if you knew this, Randy, but like golf courses, you think about golf courses and you go there and you go in the door, you have your clubs, et cetera. You get into your cart and you drive down with a bunch of people, usually 3 or 4 or 5 people playing at once. Now they've limited down to 2 people. They have, the flags that mark where the holes are. And you know how somebody would go and pull the flag up. Well, now they've eliminated and they have now handless, touch-free golf flags, so you don't have to touch them. I don't know exactly how they're doing that, but I guess they have a system which sounds pretty interesting, where you don't have to actually touch the stick. And they've limited the games to the games to 2 people at a time. They've eliminated parts in the clubhouse. I guess you have to bring your own clubs and remove your own clubs. That's one adjustment. The car dealership has done the same thing. How do you do a safe test drive in a car where you're sitting, 2 feet away from the buyer? But in most cases, they also let you take the car out on your own. So buying cars right now, if you're going to a dealer, you won't have to have that personal contact. And if you're negotiating, it'll be 6 feet away. I guess you can use that as an excuse if somebody says, yeah, we'll throw in the I thought you said that you were going to throw in that free wax. Oh, no, I didn't. Well, no, you were standing so far away. I thought that's what you said. Now, I was hoping on that because I really want this car. But anyway, the point I'm trying to make, remember I told you about this about a week ago, that they actually have a service where you can buy the car online. They'll actually bring it to your house. You don't have to see anybody. You do everything on the phone. And then, of course, it's the restaurants. How do you think they're going to deal with restaurants if they decide to open that up? I've heard that they have to cut down to 25% of their people. So in other words, there has to be only 1/4 the amount of tables, and then about 1/4 of the amount of people that they can actually serve at once.
Well, what they could do, some of their smaller tables, they could take and combine a couple of tables together, put a little bit of plexiglass in the middle of it, just to make the tables a little bit bigger so they have a little more arm length, and they're all obviously a little more spread apart if they have
that's
to downsize.
A good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, so in other words, it would be like 2 tables together that would still only sit 2 or 3 people, but you'd have a lot more room. That makes sense.
Yeah, you put some plexiglass before, you've got a whole like a half a body length between each other, you can still utilize your tables. You're just making it bigger because maybe the meal's going to be bigger,
Right. Well, here's the thing. All these different changes that you explained, like at your work, and we just gave a couple examples. The bottom line is this. This is according to the plan that the governor is talking about, where he extended it 1 more month, to get people to realize that we have a little bit more freedom in certain areas, but the thing is we still have to do the social distancing, the hand washing, the wearing of masks, and try to be really, really smart about this. And that's really the only way that this is going to change at this point in time, because realistically speaking, at this point, we're holding it, we're holding the fort, so to speak. So what do you think about that? Because you think people are going to stay used to being careful, or are they going to start getting a little bit more lackadaisical?
You know, freedom is such a huge thing. It really is a huge thing, and it can be utilized in good ways and bad ways. And
yeah,
unfortunately,
we
are a people that have so much freedom. We have, you know, to do things we shouldn't be doing and things that shouldn't be happening. That's why we have law enforcement, you know, like many people, whatever you want to call it, because people break rules. Since this has been happening from day one, I've seen people seen people not take it serious, almost like laugh it in the face. I've seen people who take it so serious and won't come out. They're so fearful, and I don't think that's the answer either. But I've seen people that are really trying to hone in on that thing you and I talked about a long time ago when this happened, was love people the way you want to be loved and treat people the way you want to be treated. When I go to a store and I stand in that store or whatever it is, I'm standing on this line and I'm going up next, and somebody comes up behind me and they're ready to cross the line, put their groceries like they normally would. And the person at the register says, "Will you please step back until we're finished?" There's a respect there. If we can stay within that reality, that regardless of how you feel about it, whether you want to laugh it in the face, whether you want to mock it, whether you want to blame, you know, whatever you want to do at that point, you have to also understand there's a person behind you, a person in front of you, and the person beside you. Everybody's mentality of what they're going through, even though we don't change how we're supposed to do it, everybody's going through something different. You may laugh it in the face and not think it's real, but the person in front of you, beside you, or behind you may have such a fear that you are causing harm to that person by not, you know, responding in your practice of social distancing. So, yeah, freedom. We have freedom. Sure we do. But we have freedom to use it wisely. And in that being said, I think moving forward, I think you're going to see people that are going to break the rules as always. I mean, we have people that basically feel like, you know, they have a right to choose whatever they want to do. It's kind of like I have a right to choose whether I want to live my life like this in the middle of a pandemic, and I don't really care about the virus. And, you know, but the thing is what we're hearing and have been hearing for so long is it's not just about us and the virus. It's about us transferring it to another person. So we can't become reckless like a drunk driver. You can't become reckless and say, "Oh, I had 9 drinks. I got in the car. No big deal. You know, blah, blah, blah." You know, this is the same thing. It's like you need to consciously think.
That's a good way to put it.
So that's kind of how I feel about the freedom part of it.
It's important. Go ahead.
I heard somebody walk into where I work, and I don't know this person, but they came in and they were pretty headstrong about, you know, wanting to viciously attack the leaders as our governor. I'm not making this a political thing.
It's going to happen everywhere.
But at the same time, I said to this person, I said, "Look," I said, "I'm not going to go there with politics." I said, "But I think you also have to think of it this way." I said, "Our governor is not just a governor. He's also a man. He's also a human. He has a family." I said, "And he's trying to take care of human to human." I said, "So instead of just putting him in the politician field, maybe start looking at too at the fact that the person is also a human being, you know, trying to not only protect his own family, but hopefully protect the lives of many families here in Washington too."
Well, that's perfectly said. You know, we'll spend 20 shows, you know, talking about, you know, all the theories and the philosophies, but, you know, I think the point that you just made a few minutes ago is to just try to get used to it, that this is how it's going to be. And it's also a choice, and it's really not, it's not bad to be nice to somebody and be respectful, you know. It's really simple. So the gift is that we have, like, you know, you can analyze it, but I'll give you an example. There's one fellow, him and his wife, they spend the weekends, they're semi-retired, but they work hard, but they look forward on the weekends. Their thing is they like to go fishing together, you know. Actually, she likes to, you know, she likes to fish, but she also just likes to have that time near the water. And so they, you know, the only time they really got a chance to be together sometimes was on one or two days a week, and they both decided they really enjoyed that time on the water. So their hobby was to get a little boat and to go, and they both fish, and they just have their picnic, and they spend, you know, a Sunday afternoon out there. And they've been doing this for like 10 or 15 years, younger couple. And they had an opportunity yesterday for the first time to actually go and bring their boat, and they both took a couple of days off from, you know, everything that they had to do, and they, because they wanted to be there the first opening day, and they went out to the lake and they got into their boat, and you know, they were so delighted. And his quote was really simple. He says, "In as much as we can, we're going to come out, but we really want to thank the governor for working hard to try to keep us safe and help us, you know, get to this." And I think that summarizes everything you just said, you know, that there are things that are happening now, and people are going to get those little gifts, and maybe we'll appreciate it more than we did before, you know.
I think so. I think that, you know, I mean, I think you have to also appreciate the fact that as much as this has been a burden for many people, and it has, it definitely has, and I don't take away from that from anybody, because I know there are people out there that are really having a stressful, hard time. I get that. I understand that. But in that being said, too, just also the reality of, you know, it's going to go back to something. Will it go back to what it was? I don't think so. I don't think it will. But I think what it does go back to, I think it'll go back to something, like you said, something that is going to be a little bit of a challenge for us. It might be a little bit difficult. But I look at it this way. My mom used to say this all the time. It's kind of like this. When a person goes on a diet, right, and they have this desire to lose this massive amount of weight because they're just not feeling good. They're getting ready to go through a complete change with their body. And so now they've gone through that complete change or whatever. The thing is, great, at the end of it, you have succeeded to bring yourself into a place of going, wow, I did it. I was able to do it. Now there's a new way that I have to look at life, whatever you want to call it. But the most important perspective in all that is not that person didn't go into losing that weight to just lose the weight. They also went into it, and they're a human being and they're a person. They have a great personality. The challenge is going to be that we do not change our laughter and our joy in the midst of it.
Absolutely.
Not allowing the circumstances of ourselves to change. And I always think of this sometimes when people like go through that, some people will remain the same, and all of a sudden sometimes their personality will change when they lost all that weight. And it's beautiful. It's wonderful. You could fit inside six. But where'd your personality go? You lost the most important thing. So I think that's going to be the challenge. Yeah, people, we need to change to become better. We need to change to become better than we are. But to change your personality in the sense of losing that greatness that you are based on the fact that you think you have to be this certain thing, and now here you are a wholly different person, and nobody wants to be around you, regardless of how great you look. We got to be careful not to lose the spirit of ourselves and the gratitude and the heart of who we are as humanity in the midst of all this. We got to go through the challenges with our heads held high, and we got to go through the challenges with being able to treat each other with kindness and not allow this change to bring us to a place where we're treating people with such an intensity that they don't even want to come back, you know?
Right.
Because, you know, it's like, wait, a minute ago I was like – 3 months ago, things were great. Even where I was working, whatever you would call this, great. I love the atmosphere. And one walks in the door and you got all these things that have to change, all these things that are changing. But you walk in the door only to an intense atmosphere or a cold atmosphere. That's not going to help it either. So we really need to remember not to allow ourselves to go there and to be very careful that we don't take others there too, because this is going to be a different time for all of us. Regardless of our freedom or not, it's still going to be a different time.
No, no question. Well, you know, here's the thing. You get used to it, you know, it takes a couple of, especially if you're going back to work, you know, it's one thing not just being somebody who's going to go out and be a patron, because the amount of people that really want to go right out are actually not that great right now. They're not ready to just go into a hair salon or do that. Even the ones that might open, they'll do it gradually. But it's the other part of it. It's like going back to work and realizing that, you know, the job that you do may be a little bit different. But it's almost like, say, you live someplace and they're working on, you know, rerouting the traffic or something because they're fixing sewer lines. So you have to go up two blocks to the left and five blocks to the right. And the first day it's a pain in the neck, but by the third or fourth day it's going to be like you could sleepwalk through that transition. You know, you just get used to it. And I think it's the same sort of thing. It's like we'll still be able to get to the same location, but we might have to do it a little different. We are having to do it a little differently. And I think people will start calming down. Once once the weather changes a little bit and they feel like they can get out a little bit or have the outside world hit them a little bit more, they might realize that, okay, this is how we do it now. But, you know, it's, I'm not going to stress about it so much. You know, I guess that's what I'm saying.
Well, exactly. We also have to realize, too, this is not just our community. This is global. I just even saw even in Israel today, in Jerusalem, Israel, at the wall, the temple where they go to pray. It's changed there too. Now they've got little cubbies. You can't go to the wall and touch the wall and pray. You have to go to all these little cubbies and you have to grab this little hat as you go. And then you go to all these little cubbies and there may be five people that can be in this one cubby, six can be. So this has changed. Even there, they are taking measures. And now when you go to that prayer wall, which is usually just bombarded with people coming in for prayer, now they can't be bombarded like that. They are basically taking measures to keep them the social distancing, even in that avenue. And they're going to continue to do that as they move forward.
Right, changing thousands and thousands of years of tradition. But you know what?
Exactly.
It's going to save some lives, and that's basically what it boils down to. You know, that's the thing. It's like right now it's down to just doing that. And doing what you can do to preserve and treasure life. And that's really the goal of all of us, to keep going and to try to be safe. Because, you know, listen, you're only here for a certain amount of time. And some people get called earlier and some people, you know, don't. But it's the respect to people who are the most vulnerable, respect to the kids who need more care, respect to people who have handicaps, and certainly respect to people who are older with certain conditions. And you're in that world every day, you know, and I'm in that world because I am one of those people. And, you know, that's the thing that is so important right now. That's really the red line, the critical edge. And sadly, in some cases, people are forgetting how that connection, the kids, the people who are disabled, the people who are seniors, are more vulnerable. And next time we get a little impatient because we want to get closer to somebody in the grocery, maybe we stop for a second and say, you know, what I'm doing right now is going to help somebody who's less fortunate than me get through this, you know?
Well, and that's the attitude, too. We hear a lot of people, you know, talking about how, you know, basically we're running to that not only is this ordeal that we're in, but, you know, causing people to become depressed and all these other things that are happening, you know, and we've got to get back there because of all this stuff. And there's truth in that. That's always been the case. That's not changed. There's always been that kind of thing in the middle of troubling times. But in that being said,
yes,
how do we approach that? We approach that by doing the best we can to reach out to people, even people maybe we don't think of. We do the best we can to forgive each other, or put things out there to put, instead of hostility, but peace. We do the best we can to do that, but you're always going to have that darkness over the time of a shadowing time that everybody's uncertain of. It's always going to be there. And unfortunately, even when things are going great, there's still that mentality, even in a lit up world, that can be driving forces every day. You still have that. So I'm not taking away from that, but I'm saying that if that is a concern that we all have in this moment that we are going through, then it's our responsibility to do what we can to the best of our ability to lift those up, to maintain, you know, the sanctity of others, you know, by doing what we're called to do, which is to do the social distancing, and go through this together in the best way that we can, and serve each other the best way we can, and hope for the best for each other, you know, and come up with creative ideas to do better, you know.
Well, I just want to say that I'm so happy to have you back on the air with me. It's just the voice of reason. Right, we only have a minute left. I'll give you 10 seconds or 15 seconds to wrap it up until we meet again.
Okay, guys, this is your last day. This is your last day. How are you going to live it? That's the big question. It's not how is your future look? How did yesterday look? How did the past look? This is your last day. How are you going to live it? Let's do our best. Let's live it right.
I am totally with you. That was only – you did that in 49 seconds. Thank you. All right.
I'm getting better.
Here we go. Yeah, you are. We're getting better all the time. All right. Rondi, thanks again. This is Chester Duarte, 1020 Radio in the Pacific Northwest. Food and Mania, Quarantine and Mania lives. We'll be back at 10 o'clock tonight. See you then.